Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children. We come to you right now. Prayer is a petition. We know that it's by the blood of Christ that we come alone. We pray for our time together. It's not that we just need you to live life, but we need you right now as we open up your word, as we have gathered together to hear what you have declared. We pray not only for this church, Lord, we pray for Calvary Pentecostal Church in our area. We pray that as they gather together this morning, that your name would be glorified. That the word of God would be preached boldly, that you would save the lost. Lord, we pray for your kingdom that is being built here in Euless. Lord, use us to advance your name, to advance the gospel. And we know that you're going to save the elect. We know that you are going to save the lost. And what a great joy that is. That you have not only called us to yourself, but you have called us to be involved in the mission. So Lord, may we be faithful. Give us ears to hear this morning. May we rest in and delight in your word. And who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we continue in our study of 2 Timothy, I would invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're using a Pew Bible, that is on page 995. Page 995. And once you arrive at 2 Timothy chapter 2, please stand with me in the honor of reading of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. For context, I will begin reading in verse 8 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it leads people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Last week, Paul instructed Timothy in the church of Ephesus to remember Jesus Christ. To remember Jesus Christ. And for some of us, that is a basic statement. It's like, well, why would that need to be said? Well, every time we sin, we do not remember Jesus Christ. So many times we do not remember Jesus Christ. We do not remember his person and his work. We abandon it. Even as lost children in this world, lost children, they forget so many things, but even as God's children, we also forget. As the Lord's children, we too easily and often forget. We forget to consider Christ. We forget the work of Christ. We forget the resurrection of Christ and his reigning authority over all things. And we too easily settle for the fleeting pleasures of sin. And they are fleeting. Paul did not just spur Timothy and the church to remember. He instructed them of God's great love and grace. When we are struggling to move forward in our spiritual walk, when we are suffering, when we have very little fruit that we can presently point to that we are producing in our life, even when we are faithless, be encouraged, child. God is faithful. Let us remind ourselves, if we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Our salvation is not based upon our performance, but upon the divine faithfulness of the Lord. He is the one who stretched out His divine hand and sent forth grace upon our lives. He is the one who took our heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh. He has given us the faith to believe and brought life to our rotting bones. Our minds need daily transformation of this. Our minds need to remember. We are first a child of God before we are a worker. And it seems so often I struggle with this. I don't know about you, but so many times I think about the things that I must be doing that I forget about the thing that has already been accomplished because of who God is and what He has done in my life. We are first a child of God before we are a worker. Before we ask ourselves if we are single-minded, fully serving Christ as a soldier, or if we are daily training spiritually as an athlete, or if we work hard daily as a farmer, we are to just know and rest in the truth that we are a child of the King. And as children, we are to rest in Christ, eagerly enjoying Him, enjoying His words, delighting in Him, joyfully talking to Him, joyfully praising Him. Let us remember Jesus Christ. Let us enjoy Him. And it is with this foundation that we can begin looking at verse 14. He says, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers." See, the authoritative words of Paul to Timothy were for him to remind and to charge, to remind and to charge. We find a basic truth here. When we forget our foundation, we will quarrel about words and accept falsehood. When we forget our foundation, we will quarrel about words and accept falsehood. Without our lives being transformed by truth, we will most definitely embrace false teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, and 4. It says that I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Truth had been abandoned. He goes on in 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and he understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. See, truth was being abandoned. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, it goes on to say, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and they are worthless. Paul has emphasized myths, endless genealogies, foolish controversies, and now he brings up quarrels about words. These things have no eternal value, and they are not to exist among those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's meaning. Don't wrangle about words. Don't be involved with empty, worldly, foolish chatter. This reminding, this is not a one-time instruction. This is to be a continual admonishment for the church. Because how often do we stray? Daily. How often do we need to be reminded of the truth? Daily. How often do we need to remember that sometimes our pride gets so much in the way that we just want to win an argument or win a battle, and we don't want the Word of God to go forward. It's to be a constant admonishment. Timothy and the church in Ephesus, they were to persist as we are in teaching the truth of God and charging others to stop teaching and believing what is false and foolish, because false teaching is foolish. It says, remind them of these things and charge them before God. So in the presence of God, Timothy was to call their attention to remember Christ, his person and his work, and charge them not to quarrel about words. Both of those things. The church was to be charged. The church was to have a stern warning in the presence of God. This is a serious charge because false teaching has eternal consequences. These words, charge him before God, are not discussing comfort for the believer. They are discussing God's fearful judgment. He says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. God's church is not to gather together and be devoted to things that are not good, things that don't glorify him. That's why God saved his church, so it would be devoted to the truth. Ungodly, pragmatic, New Age teaching has no place within God's household. The church has been entrusted with truth, the gospel. This is what we are to guard. That's what God has given to us to guard and to march forward with. Empty chatter, false teaching among the people of God does no good. It causes much pain and suffering and disunity and gossip and doubt and discouragement and sin. It destroys all those who hear it. And if you think that you're in this room and you are exempt, let me just encourage you that you're not. I don't care how much theology you have. I don't care what your background is, what your schooling is. Foolish thinking will penetrate your minds if you're around it enough. The church in Ephesus was filled with people who were confused and they were discouraged. They were saints in desperate need of help. There are many today who are confused about what is truth. And many are discouraged because they have sat under false teaching. What is preached in the Lord's house must be the word of God and nothing else. It is sufficient, it is inerrant, it is exactly what we need. It is the only thing that divides properly because it is the power of God that goes forward. False teaching does not just hurt the saved, it also hurts the lost. It will not bring about their salvation. There is no power in the false gospel. False teaching will convince the lost that they are found, and there should be great weeping on the part of God's children at the thought of a hell-bound soul believing that they are justified before God. Truth must be taught by pastors and the church. Back to our main text of 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Accurately handle the word of God. Paul leaves no room for idleness here. He charges the church not to be involved in false teaching, and now he spurs on the elders, specifically Timothy, to maximum exertion in the handling of the word of truth. Did you notice Paul's reasoning and motivation for rightly handling the word of God as a pastor? It is for the care of the pastor's soul. Look at what he says. He says, Paul desires every pastor, especially Timothy, to stand before God and be found approved or acceptable. This is not discussing salvation, but the seriousness of the men whom God has gifted to preach and teach. It is a serious business to handle the word of truth, and any man who thinks otherwise should not be allowed behind the pulpit or in the classroom. The church needs pastors who will do their best, who will diligently and accurately handle God's holy word. The handling of God's word will determine the direction of the church, the healthiness of the church. Where the word of God is preached, God's will is done. He will correct, he will train, he will equip. That's how powerful the word of God is. For all the elders of a church, for all the teachers within a church, whether it is you are teaching the babies who are crawling, the teenagers who are developing life habits, or the elderly who are about to meet Christ face to face. We are to rightly handle the word of truth. You know, this is one of the major desires that really tugged on my heart as I was serving as a student pastor at First Baptist Church Keller. I thought when I entered into the ministry, the Lord was going to keep me as a youth pastor, and I was going to be the oldest youth pastor who ever lived. And over a period of time, the Lord started giving me a huge hunger and a huge desire to see not only little children understanding the truth, but seeing every age group serving the Lord faithfully. I began to have a huge hunger for the fact of how come we don't see older individuals pouring into the younger? How come we don't see what the Bible says? How older women are to pour into the younger women? How older men are to invest in the younger men? How come we don't see that all throughout the church? And it became very clear to me. It's because many people who are older have already left and abandoned the mission. How every age group is to be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I began to have a huge passion. It's not that I just wanted to see a 13-year-old worship and serve the Lord. I wanted to see what it was like as how can I spur on an 89-year-old who has more and so much to teach the younger generation, this is how you live for the Lord. Oh, that fad that you're struggling with, guess what? I saw that 25 years ago. Let me tell you about it. That's what it means to be family. Think about family gatherings. I don't know what your family gathering is like, or if you even have them. But when you come together, you're supposed to love one another and spur one another on to love and good works as the family. A lot of us, we come together and we have family members who are not saved. And so what do? Hopefully, we faithfully point them to Christ. But when you have older men that you get together with, if you're a young man, and they're saved, I don't know about you, but I draw to them. I want to sit under them. I want to learn what they have to say. And that's how the body of Christ should be. To be accurately handling the word of truth. We must handle the word of God. And for all the elders of the church, for all the teachers, that's what he was saying. Whether you're teaching babies that are crawling, teenagers who are developing life habits, or elderly who are about to meet the Lord, we're to rightly handle the word of truth. The rightful handling of God's word, to correctly handle it, to accurately handle it. The context of these words are for the elders, yes, but it can be applied to all of God's children. The word of God is to be rightly handled by all of us who claim to be children of God. We are to cut straight, to teach the truth directly and correctly. Just like in the cutting of a road, you do so to make a straight path and not a crooked one. Think about all the teaching that we encounter weekly. All the Bible studies that you attend, all the reading of the books that you read, all the articles that you read, all the blogs, all the posts, all the tweets. Parents, think about the great need for you to handle God's word with care as you teach your children. Because I promise you this, what you teach your children will have an everlasting effect way more than hearing the pastor on a Sunday morning. Stats have proven it. Parents are to pour into their children, and when you do, they will remember way more than what they hear from me. Do not teach unless you know that you are teaching the truth. You need people who teach the word of God who are teaching to shepherd their heart, to shepherd their soul by the word of God. You don't need behavior modification so they fall in line and they look good, but their heart is still a heart of stone. You work hard at praying and studying and teaching. This is what it means to be a workman. God is king. We are his workers. And doctrine is a must if we are to be workers approved. Doctrine is a must if we're to be workers approved. Otherwise, we are working aimlessly as if we are trying to fight the wind. We do not want to be ashamed in our standing before God. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, it says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." So we are to accurately handle the word of God and avoid worldly babble. In verse 16, it says, "But avoid irreverent babble. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some." So as teachers and children of God, we must not allow our minds to be consumed with babble, allowing our thoughts and our affections to image the enemy. And if I'm going to be honest with you this morning, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more and more areas of babble I see in my life. It's not that I see less sin, I see more sin. I see more things that I should not be watching, more things that I should not be saying, more things that I should be praying for, more things that I look back on in my life and it's like, I wish I wouldn't have wasted hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of time doing this, and I would have spent more time doing the things of the Lord. As teachers and children of God, we must not allow our minds to be consumed with babble, allowing our thoughts and our affections to image the enemy. As sheep, we are to look to the shepherd. We are to avoid irreverent babble that does nothing but lead people into more ungodliness. Titus 3:9 says, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable, they are worthless." So we avoid these things. We don't stand around it. We turn and walk away from it as the church. Foolishness is to be shunned by the church, not embraced and soaked upon. In Matthew 23, verses 13 and 15, it says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." See, the scribes and Pharisees did not lead people to God. They shut the kingdom of heaven to the souls who heard them. Their false teaching made people twice as much a child of hell as they were. This is what foolish talking, false teaching does. It says, avoid irreverent babble. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Empty chatter is not beneficial for this world or for the church. It only leads people into more and more ungodliness. This is why this world is being destroyed, because of sin. There is not a soul in this room that needs more ungodliness. We were born ungodly. We all need truth. Truth saves and truth sanctifies, and nothing else does. Truth is the only thing that builds up. I stand up here not as a man who is better than anyone else in this room. I stand up here on this elevated platform before you to do one thing and one thing alone: to feed truth to the flock of God. That's it. To declare, "Thus saith the Lord," because this is my humble calling, this is my service. Pastors are to lift high the word of God and make sure it is the center of all that is done, because the church is to lead people to God. And the only thing that will lead people to God is God. And this is what is so heartbreaking. So often we forget that. God is what leads people to God. We have the word. That's what we need. If we're not careful in handling the word of God, we will cleverly devise sinful schemes or fall into the snares of the devil and add to or take away from what God has entrusted to us. We're not allowed to do that as his children. Because it says right here, it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. So Paul gives the image here of a disease. It compares that to empty chatter. Gangrene is a disease by which any part of the body suffering from inflammation becomes so corrupted that unless a remedy is applied, the disease will continually spread, attacking all other parts of a body. In its final stages, it eats away the bones. Most people compare it today to that of cancer. False teaching spreads like a disease, and if the disease is not treated, it will destroy. John Calvin declared that heresy will sap the spiritual vitality of the church just like a disease will of a body. The church cannot allow the corruption of false teaching to spread. The medicine of truth must be applied, which is the Word of God. The Ephesian church was being instructed because of this exact present problem that they had. Among them were Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. Now, Philetus is only mentioned here in all of Scripture, but we all remember the name Hymenaeus, don't we? If you don't, we already looked at it, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that may learn not to blaspheme." They have been excommunicated from the church, letting them know that we do not see you as a child of God. To say that a shipwrecked faith is worse than a temporary physical disease is such a huge understatement. These two men were teaching that the resurrection had already happened. They were teaching that a spiritual resurrection was all that there was. This denies a future bodily resurrection, and it places everything on the here and now, all of your present experiences. The result of this teaching was denial of the work of Christ on the cross, all that Christ taught, his atonement, and it elevated the present day experience, erasing the glories of heaven to come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, it says, "How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God, has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, has outraged the Spirit of grace?" Matthew 18, 6, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great milestone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." Some of those in the church were having their faith upset because of this false teaching. The example of these two men are warnings to us as a church. Don't swerve from the truth. Don't miss the mark. Remain devoted to the truth. Cut straight. Let us always put a stop to worldly babble in the church by daily embracing and teaching truth. And you say, where has that gone today? We're surrounded by so many churches that have abandoned truth completely. There's books and articles and blogs and conventions, all the like, devoted to the things of man and their ideas of what they think about God versus what God has already told us in His holy word. We're to put a stop to the worldly nonsense by teaching and embracing the truth. And you think, well, that's the job of the pastor. No, dear saint, that's the job of everyone in this room who has been born again. Many pastors in their lives and their teachings would have been saved if the body of Christ would have approached them in love and pointed out their falsehood. We need accountability. Let us put a stop to the worldly things. Verse 19, "But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." Paul once again points to who? Our sovereign Lord. This is the good news. God's firm foundation stands. False teachers will not destroy what God has done and accomplished. His word goes on forever. And the Lord knows who his children are. Matthew 16:18. I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It's not Peter. It's the profession, the confession of what Peter has said. It's by the blood of Christ alone that we are saved. God's children will persevere because God's grace will bring it about. God's firm foundation cannot be shaken or destroyed because his sovereign, omnipotent hand will bring his perfect will about. It will happen. The Lord is building his church. We need to trust him and his promises and be diligent workers of knowing and teaching the truth. Knowing and teaching the truth. There's so many seasons that happen in our life. I am 36 years old, about to be 37. And if I understand my life correctly, I believe the Lord saved me by his grace at the age of 11 years old. And since 11, I have seen so many different seasons of my life, just spiritually speaking. I've seen seasons where I've struggled tremendously. I've seen seasons where there's nothing else that I really want to do but to eat on the word of God. And then I've seen seasons of heartache that I didn't learn from. And the Lord, with his sovereign, gracious hand, made me go through that same season again. We're forgetful people. We need to be reminded of the truth, and we must soak in it. Too often we soak in so many different things besides the word. But we have this encouragement right here, this instruction to depart from wickedness. He says, guess what? Here's the good news. God's firm foundation, it stands. It stands no matter what you do. Isn't that good news? If you fail today, it's still going to be standing. You fail tomorrow, it's going to stand then too. It's not dependent upon us. As his children made in his image, we are to rest in his sovereign work. God's children will persevere because God's grace will bring it about. God's firm foundation cannot be shaken. It cannot be destroyed because God is guarding it. The Lord is building his church. We need to trust him and his promises for that and be diligent workers at knowing and teaching the truth. If we claim to be born again, if we name the name of the Lord, let us depart from wickedness, embrace God's truth completely, and live lives that please him. And here's the thing. Some people say, well, how do I depart this wickedness when I really don't know what the wickedness is in my life? Well, that's pretty simple. That means you're not meditating upon the truth of God. You want to know what wickedness is? You don't study wickedness. You study the truth. You get in the truth. You see the truth. Doctrine is what will make you and I one approved before God, a worker approved. That's what we need. I was reminded this past year from a fellow brother in Christ that right now in 2018, we have access to so many different things. All the time. I can't keep up with Tim Challies. I can't keep up with the amount of books that John Piper is producing. I can't keep up with John MacArthur. I can't keep up with all the myriad and myriads of sermons that flow through my phone and website all the time. But you know what? That's okay. Because I don't need John MacArthur. I don't need R.C. Sproul. I don't need all the books by John Piper. I don't need to listen to all the 40,000 sermons that are probably a whole lot better than this one. I need the Word of God. And that's okay. I need this local church. I need you to live life with, to looking to Jesus and moving forward. That's what church family is all about. That's so important. I need to be reminded. I need to get alone with the Lord. So in closing, I want us to think about three things. Point number one, let us work hard at rightly handling the word of truth, doing our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, having nothing to be ashamed of. It's like the imagery of you and I if you take care of your yard at all. You mow it, you weed eat it, you edge it, you put on the fertilizer when you should, and some of you, you pay somebody else to do it. Shame on you. And you walk through your yard and you get all done and you think everything is finally complete and you see a weed. And then you see another weed. And you see something else that's sprouting up and it's the Lord saying, hey, you're not home. You're not home yet. Keep reading the word. Go over there and pull that weed up. Let's keep working on your sanctification because it's by grace that you can do that anyways. And keep conforming yourself into the image of Christ. Let us rightly handle the word of truth, doing our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, having nothing to be ashamed of. And if we're honest here, if we're completely honest with the look of our lives and you're not full of pride right now, there are things in your life and in my life that we are ashamed of. Point two, as God's children, we must also not allow false teaching to exist among this local church. I'm not perfect. There's going to be things that I'm going to say that's going to be wrong at some point. And some of you made a list for those and emailed those to me. I appreciate that. But we have to hold one another accountable. I mean, we need to. It's important. If apologies need to be made, apologies need to be made. But truth and falsehood mixed together will always destroy. We must remain fixed on the path of truth and continue to work. And point number three, let us avoid the godless chatter and rest as Paul did in our sovereign, omnipotent God. He is our light and our salvation. When you read this letter, you see an amazing trust in our sovereign God as he is writing. Let us do the same. We don't wallow in our sufferings. We don't wallow in our failures. We get back up and we keep running that race looking to Jesus. We get into the Word of God. We know the Word of God. That transforms our life. We abide. We soak in it. We move forward even when we don't feel like it. Just like this morning, some of us didn't really feel like getting up. It's funny how our feelings are so deceptive. Many of us are probably not thinking right now, I really don't feel like eating today. You may not feel like getting into the Word of God today. You may not feel like praying today, but I promise you, if you don't want to be penetrated by foolishness and worldly babble, you need to abide in the Word of God. Get into the truth. Father, we thank you for this morning. Oh my gosh, your Word is so good. It is so good. Father, my prayer is selfish. I pray that who you are, your holy word, would taste better to me than anything else or anyone else. Your word says so much about truth, wisdom, and the need for it, how it's greater and richer and more useful than gold and silver. It's more precious than fine jewels. Lord, we need you. You will never fade. Your kingdom will never become corrupted and end. Your word, not a dot will pass from it. Lord, truth It is beautiful. It is amazing. It is what builds up. It is what we are to be about as your adopted children. So, Lord, forgive us where we have failed you. Holy Spirit, show us our sins. And by the Spirit, may we slay those sins and embrace truth. Father, for the lost in this room, save them. May they turn from their sins and turn towards the only truth, the only Savior of this world, Jesus Christ. May they call on Christ for salvation. Lord, draw them to yourself. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together as the people of God this morning. Thank you that we don't have to come up here and guess or wonder if we have a word from you. We have your word. Father, thank you for who you are. I pray that our lives would thank you by being obedient children, showing ourselves as a worker, rightly handling your word, rightly knowing who you are. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will, take the next few minutes as a time of silence and reflection. The Lord has confessed any sins to you, that you would confess those. And we will close in a few minutes with the closing benediction. But as always, if you have any questions about the gospel, questions about salvation, please talk to somebody before you leave today. But use this time right now and meet with the Lord.